Welcome to the Speaking Bluntly podcast with your host, Jasmine. This is a channel where we have real, raw, and unfiltered conversations that anyone can relate to. Mi gente, welcome back to the Speaking Bluntly podcast. I know I've been on a bit of a hiatus, but we're back and ready to get into the full swing of things. Quite frankly, I don't know what I was thinking when I started the podcast in the middle of softball season, and then all three girls were playing softball. That posed a challenge to creating a consistent production schedule. So literally, I was just doing things on the fly. And then summertime came and we went on vacation two times. Honestly, podcast was not at the forefront because family time was. But now that these chitterins, they're back in school, I do plan to be producing an episode every week as what was originally intended. So I appreciate your patience during this time. But rest assured, we're going to have some good content coming in the next few weeks. So on the last episode, I spoke about the insurrection and cancel culture and what they had in common. And I actually wanted to use that as a gateway to then start talking about critical race theory. But it does appear that the manufactured fall outrage that was happening in the right-wing ecosystem as it pertained to critical race theory has calmed down somewhat. Although the fervor amongst parents bombarding school boards and demanding, full transparency with the curriculum that they're learning has intensified, overall, I think people, generally speaking, are starting to figure out that critical race theory is not being taught K through 12. Critical race theory isn't even being taught in undergrad. It's a graduate level school of study, specifically law school, because it discusses how systemic biases affect our judicial systems, affect our educational systems, healthcare systems. So basically, it goes into systemic racism, right? And how do we combat systemic racism? However, in the time that has elapsed since then, what's been very concerning is how the country is being further polarized due to vaccines now. It's not lost upon me that it was conservatives, the GOP, who made a public health crisis political. The fact is, this should have never been political. This should have been wartime type of mentality, right? We were, or we are, because the pandemic is still not over, at war with a virus, a deadly virus. So deadly that in 18 months, over 500,000 Americans have died due to this virus. That's astonishing. And now, we have a life-saving vaccine. And people are opting not to take the vaccine for a lot of different reasons. And those reasons, hey, whether I may not agree with them or not, I respect them. Now we're having to have mandates, right? Vaccine mandates. You want to go into a restaurant, you have to show proof of vaccine. You want to go to a baseball game, you have to show proof of vaccine. And yet people can lie, and that's fine. But why would you want to put innocent people at risk because you are making a personal choice? And if you're going to make that personal choice, honestly, you should stay home. Because I don't think it's fair to the rest of us who have done the research. So this episode is going to be dedicated to debunking that misinformation that's circulating about the vaccine. I'm also going to share with you my personal story and how I was initially hesitant to get this vaccine. Why I was hesitant and what led me to finally make the decision to not only get myself vaccinated, but also to get my kids who are eligible for vaccination to also get them vaccinated. So let's talk about the school year for parents who were home with their kids, at least I was, for 18 months doing remote learning. My kids did not step into a school building until April of this year. So they were out of school for about a year and a month because schools closed down here in New Jersey on March 13th, 2020. And even though I was like really, really apprehensive and nervous, quite frankly, to send my kids into a school building, knowing that they weren't vaccinated, I also saw how they were struggling. And I know that they needed human interaction. And I further knew and understood we're going to have to find a way to get these kids back into a school building. They do need this interaction. However, and it's the same subset group of people. And what I say that this has become politicized. They didn't want their kids wearing masks in school. No vaccines, no social distancing, no mitigation efforts whatsoever in the schools to keep our children safe. Nope. They wanted doors fully open, unmasked kids, full capacity, no cohorts, just, hey. According to the Fox News scientists, kids can't get COVID and they can't die from it. And now as we watch what's happening in Florida, and we're watching the high rate of children not only being infected with this virus, but dying from this virus, we know that this is absolutely false. But this is what happens when we allow a party to politicize a public health crisis. Everything's become political. Everything. Even this damn vaccine. And when you hear the same talking points over and over and over again, it's just like, it's an indoctrination. That I sit back and ask myself, do you really hear yourselves? Are you really listening to what you're spewing out there? Because this is a public health crisis. So now school systems across the country are trying to find ways to open up safely. And you can see the deep divide in which states, again, are opening up based on science and data, and those who are opening up due to political expediency and how they're handling it. Like, yeah, I actually posted something on Facebook because this made so much sense to me in light of what was happening and how parents just want kids to go into the school, no mitigation efforts, no nothing, and they can't wear a mask, they can't do this, I'm not going to get them vaccinated. Like I said, it's zero mitigation efforts at all. In what world? I'll share with you what the meme said. The meme says, I think kids with lice should be able to remain at school and sit with all the other kids in class. Kids with lice have rights. Treatment should be optional. Don't be a sheep. That's how some of you fools sound. Is this not true? Would you want me to send my child to school knowing they have a head full of lice and knowing just how contagious lice is and knowing what a pain in the ass it is to then get rid of these things, hoping it doesn't pass to your other children now and then your whole house has freaking lice? And this is just lice. This is not a deadly virus where you got to sit there and then watch your kid struggle for breath because you didn't want to take any mitigation efforts. You didn't want to wear a mask. You didn't want them to wear a mask. You don't want to get the vaccine. You don't want them to get the vaccine. And then while they're on their deathbed or you on your deathbed, then the moments of regret start to seep in. How many stories have we seen about that? They're on their deathbed and it's either one or two things. They're still denying that they got COVID, or they're regretting not getting vaccinated and taking this seriously. In addition to this, we also have all these quote unquote alternative treatments that people would rather take than just getting the vaccine. I saw a video the other day from this network, One America News, I think it's called, OANN. I do periodically like to watch videos from that right-wing media ecosystem to understand what's being said over there, to understand, or at least to try to understand where some of this madness is coming from. This video, a woman was suing her husband's doctor because he refused to give her husband horse dewormer. And she's convinced that because the doctor did not give her husband a horse dewormer, that he then died from COVID, as though he wasn't going to die if he got a horse dewormer. I was reading other stories on how this dewormer, it's a dewormer, right? It had people shitting on themselves in public. Interesting, right? These are the kind of risks that individuals would choose to take rather than really doing the research on a life-saving vaccine. As I mentioned earlier, I too was hesitant to take this vaccine. For those that know me, you know that I did not trust the previous administration, not even a scintilla. I trusted the previous administration as far as I could throw them. Not very far. And I was very adamant. If a vaccine comes out under this admin, I will not take it because I do not trust them. And initially, I did not. I did not take the vaccine. In fact, I waited until April to get the vaccine. And then I waited until August to get my kids fully vaccinated. Why? I wanted to do research. I wanted to observe. And just like many of you, for a variety of reasons, may not trust the science behind it or may not trust the ingredients. Come and behold, this is not like a traditional flu vaccine where you're being injected with live virus, right? It's an mRNA vaccine. Well, Jasmine, what's an mRNA vaccine? Well, it teaches our cells how to make a certain type of protein, or even just a piece of that protein that would then trigger a response from your immune system. Similar to a traditional vaccine, but in this case, you're not being injected with live virus. Doesn't that sound great? Think about it, right? So many of us are hesitant to take certain vaccines because it's like, well, I, you know what? I may actually get sick. Flu vaccine. I've heard that a lot, myself included. I don't always get the flu shot because sometimes I do get sick from the flu shot and I just rather take the risk with the flu then. But in this case, what this is literally mRNA. So how does the COVID mRNA vaccine work? As I explained before, what the COVID mRNA vaccine does is it creates the spike protein. That's what you're being injected with, is the spike protein of the coronavirus, which is what gets people ill. That's what infiltrates our cells. Once we are given the mRNA vaccine, our body then triggers a response to it. So in the event we do get sick, well, our body now recognizes this protein and knows how to combat it. That's the whole point. And you very well may get, right? We're seeing breakthrough cases. We are seeing breakthrough cases. And I found this fantastic video that I can't find again. It was a TikTok video in which this scientist basically breaks down the hospitalization and death rates of those who are vaccinated versus those who are not vaccinated. So yeah, you may get the virus if you got the vaccine. But guess what? You won't die. That's the whole point. You won't end up in the ICU. That's the whole point. Now that we have a better understanding of how particularly these mRNA vaccines work, and I will be posting links so that further research can be done, at least we have a general understanding. We are not being injected with live virus, and no, the mRNA vaccine does not alter our DNA, which has been one of the conspiracy theories, again, birthed out of right-wing media ecosystems that has given people hesitation to then taking the vaccine. As I mentioned earlier about the case in which a woman is going to sue a doctor for not giving her husband Inversomycin, or however it's pronounced, the horse dewormer. I think this is the best way to lead me into the next segment, which is all these alternative science methods that people are choosing to experiment with rather than just taking the vaccine. And that because of this vaccine hesitancy, now employers and the government, right now, we need mandates. While I may not necessarily agree with all the mandates, I understand why they're necessary. Because we're just not doing the right thing. Back in March or April, when this administration decided on a good faith honor system with regards to the mask mandate, I think that was a grave error this administration made. Why? Because people lie. Right? People are out there talking about, yeah, I'm vaccinated. And hey, listen, that's a risk that you're willing to take. Fine. But is it fair that in you taking that risk, you may possibly contract this virus and infect others who think that you are vaccinated because you're not wearing a mask? Is that fair to do to your fellow neighbor? I don't think it is. Not only do I think it's not fair, I think it's dishonest. And quite frankly, I think it's just shitty behavior, selfish behavior. Because all you're doing is thinking about yourself. You're not thinking about your neighbor. You're not thinking about how this person may have an immunocompromised family member at home. Thus why mandates were required. But now, fine. The Biden administration lifted the mandate, and what happened? Case counts just started to explode. Down south, we're seeing ICUs overwhelmed to capacity, to the point where people who just need regular emergency service cannot get it and are dying because of that. Is that fair? Is that freedom? Is that what you believe in as far as my body, my choice? I should be able to choose. You should be able to choose. But if your choice is going to put other people at risk, and if your choice is going to keep other people from getting care that they so desperately need so that they don't die, is that fair? Is that right? Is that truly all in the name of freedom? Personally, I don't think so. And when you listen to some of the justifications, again, you turn on Fox News and it's like, you know, five alarm fire. Oh my God, this is tyranny. Tyrannical behavior. The world is ending. And it's like calamity, right? Calamity is happening. The employers are mandating vaccines. The government is starting to mandate vaccines. My body, my choice. Let's go back to that. I agree. But it's not lost upon me that, again, the group of people who are screaming about my body, my choice, just passed a law in Texas that essentially outlaws abortion for women. Is it not their body, their choice too? Or is a woman just a host body, not to be considered as an individual within her own right to make her own decision? When I've heard arguments about the vaccine, that's a choice between me and my doctor. I've heard that before too. This mantra of my body, my choice. My body, my choice. I agree. And I've always been a firm believer in that. But in this instance, it's quite difficult because your body, your choice, and you choosing not to do your part to help end a public health crisis. Like I said, it just feels selfish. How often have we been hit with a pandemic? A public health crisis of this scale? Were any of you around for the Spanish flu? I would think not. And yet, with all the technology advancements in science that we've made, because a public health crisis was politicized, we're poised to probably surpass the number of people who are infected and died from a novel virus from 100 years ago. 100 years ago. And the effects on the economy. Real quick, I do want to talk about that because if you recall, the same subset of people who are all anti-vax, my body, my choice, these mandates are tyranny, we're not a free country anymore, blah, 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 blah. It was the same group of people who was convinced that folks are staying home because they're being incentivized to stay home. Because the government was paying them to stay home. And a new report just released last week highlighted employers are baffled. There's no rush to get back to the office. There's no uptick in applications like they thought that was going to happen. I don't know. Maybe the U.S. Chamber of Commerce was just wrong. Perhaps, which has always been my belief, people are tired for working for crumbs. People are tired of having inequality when it comes down to a work-life balance, where they're slaving basically for their employer for 8 to 12, 13, 14 hours a day. They get home. They barely interact with their kids. They might have to cook dinner. They have to clean. They have to do that. All the things right to upkeep a home. When the fuck do you breathe? When do you sit back and just like, oh, okay, I could take 10 minutes for myself? You can't in this current environment. It's literally work yourself to death. Do you know how many stories I've heard of people who retire and within 5 years of their retirement, they die? That's not quality of life. We haven't seen a minimum wage increase in almost 10 years. We're here still trying to fight for $15 an hour. And by the time we get $15 an hour, truly the minimum wage that's going to be necessary to make a livable wage, it's going to be more like $20 to $22 an hour. We're so concerned with inflation right now that we're not considering that if the minimum wage had kept up with current inflation rates, even before what's happening right now, we would be around $17, $18 an hour. But no. The cost of living keeps continuing to skyrocket, and corporate America and this capitalistic society say, nope, don't pay people more. But I digress. What happened during the pandemic? People now having the ability to work from home. Seeing that things that they were always told were impossible when employers were forced to actually do it were possible. Even a 5-day work week, right? Employers are finding, why do I have to work 5 days a week when I could get what needs to get done in 3 to 4 days? Why can't we have 3 days off? Like the pandemic, what it's uncovered is there are possibilities. We are in the 21st century. We're probably one of the most stressed out and overworked advanced societies on the face of this planet. And truly, I don't think that's anything to be proud of because this leads to burnout. I'm deviating from my vaccine topic. I recognize that. But this is all part of the pandemic and what we've been dealing with as it relates to the pandemic and what we know is possible in a post-pandemic world. With the vaccine hesitancy, mandates, in my opinion, wouldn't be required if we could just all do the right thing. What I implore my fellow Americans to do is ask yourselves at the end of the day, what can I do or what have I done to help stop the spread of this virus and eradicate it. Although I think at this point, it's just going to become like a flu, a new flu. The flu is probably going to become the common cold. And now this is actually going to be like a seasonal thing that we're going to have to get vaccinated against. And vaccines work, guys. Like, are we actually going to act like we don't have certain mandates already? Like, how many vaccines do you need to get to go to school? What about to be in the military? Anthrax. Did you know if you're in the military, you have to get the anthrax vaccine? That's live virus. Live virus. Yet, silence. So ask yourselves, why is there a certain media ecosystem that continues to push this narrative? Because those are other things that people are being sheep. They're just, but are we really being sheep? Or are you being indoctrinated to a level that you don't even recognize that it's like the blind leading the blind? What's the alternative? Being in an ICU bed, struggling to breathe? And then you'll trust the science in that, right? You'll trust the science to save your life. But you won't trust the science that will prevent you from having to fight for your life in an ICU. And this is where my heart breaks for healthcare workers. And quite frankly, while I do empathize with people losing their jobs, there's something particularly nefarious about healthcare workers, frontline workers, nurses, surgeons, doctors, who are not vaccinated and are out here spreading conspiracy theories. Those people don't deserve to be in this profession. Absolutely not. That's just like completely absurd. For all the healthcare workers who are out there fighting this pandemic, exhausted, fatigued, frustrated, know that we are rooting for you. I saw another meme that stated something to the effect that if we were calling frontline workers, you know, firefighters, law enforcement, all those first responders, heroes 18 months ago, but we're cheering on the fact that they're getting fired because they won't get the vaccine, that we should be embarrassed. And in retrospect, I looked at this and I said, that's ironic because the leading cause of death among law enforcement and firefighters this year has been COVID-19. Preventable deaths. So should I be embarrassed? Because you might potentially lose your job and I'm not out here advocating that you should keep your job? Should it be me that's embarrassed? Or should it be you that's embarrassed that you're out here taking a woeful risk knowing how many of your compatriots have fallen to this very preventable disease? Or at least dying from this disease at this point is preventable. That's what the data shows. No, again, we may still be susceptible to getting the virus. However, we will not end up in the ICU and the likelihood of us dying diminishes greatly. Perhaps this hits home for me personally, because we already did experience a death from this virus. But something shouldn't have to affect you personally for you to recognize, you know what? Collectively, we are in this together. And collectively, we need to get out of this together. So I will end this episode by asking all those who have yet to be vaccinated to please, genuinely, wholeheartedly do your research. And if you can take this vaccine, please do. Because hypothetically speaking, let's say that this just gets out of control again and we have to go into lockdowns. I shouldn't have to be locked up in my house because there's a percentage of this country that just refuses to get vaccinated. Yes, like I said, it is your body. It is your choice. But understand your choices have consequences too. Like you could potentially lose your job. Like you can sit there and get a loved one severely ill and kill them. Or you just may not be able to participate in the things that you like. And for those who are comparing this to segregation, full stop, don't do that. That's such a false equivalency, because again, it is a personal choice. But understand your choices have consequences, and don't get mad when those consequences are served up to you. Especially for law enforcement, respectfully, for a group of people who just say comply. Why can't y'all just comply? Mandates wouldn't be required if we weren't a selfish society. That's what this comes down to. If this wasn't such a me type of society, we could have been like Australia. Australia, they're out there living their best lives. I saw a comment about that. Y'all sitting there acting like they're on some like severe lockdown and they can't. No. She's doing the right thing. That's how come they went damn near, what, like 8-9 months without one single positive COVID case? Yet here we are in the United States, 18 months in, and it was just reported that we're finally going to see a decrease in COVID deaths for the first time since March of 2021, just to clarify. Wow. For the first time since March, we are going to see a decrease in COVID deaths. I'm not sure where and how as a society we became so numb to mass death. But I suspect it started with mass shootings. Shooting after shooting after shooting, thoughts and prayers, but we would never do nothing about it, even though we had the power to do something about it. And here we are in a once-in-a-generation deadly pandemic, and it's the same kind of politics, quite frankly, that are playing out. And these are deadly politics. So I'll wrap up this episode with this thought for many of you to ponder on. As I mentioned earlier, folks will trust the science once they're in the hospital in an ICU bed for that science to save their life. But why won't you trust the same science that cures Lymptic to also save your life? Right? Pfizer, Viagra. Did you know that if you get COVID-19 as a man, more likely than not, you're going to develop erectile dysfunction? So you're going to have to pop that blue pill anyway. So you'll take the blue pill from the same manufacturer that's making one of these vaccines, but you won't take the vaccine? You'll trust horse dewormer and risk shitting all over yourself in public, but you won't trust the vaccine. You will have full faith and confidence in the illicit drugs that you consume now or you had consumed when you were younger, but you don't trust the vaccine and the science behind the vaccine. Think about all the things that we ingest or have ingested when you're considering, well, what's in the vaccine and what am I putting into my body? I can't stress this enough. I wholeheartedly respect a person's right to choose, whether it's their right to choose to become parents, whether it's their right to choose who they're going to marry, whether it's their right to choose if they're going to get a life-saving vaccine so that we could come out on the other side of a deadly pandemic. But our choices do have consequences. Perhaps you chose to marry the wrong person. You might find yourself in an abusive relationship. Perhaps you chose to terminate a pregnancy and you regret that decision later. Our choices have consequences one way or another. And if we're not fully prepared to deal with those consequences, then we really shouldn't be out here bitching and moaning about my body, my choice. If that's going to be your mantra, that's fine. But be fully prepared to deal with the consequences of those choices. And one of the consequences in this instance may be that you don't find yourself with a job. But it begs the question also, why would you risk your livelihood over a life-saving vaccine? Is it really that serious? Do you really think that this vaccine is not that good? That's why I say ponder on all the things that we ingest with confidence, without thinking about the consequences at all. And then think about this vaccine. I hope that you do take advantage of the links that I'm going to drop in the description, because again, you know, my whole intent with this podcast was always to inform, educate, enlighten, and let's have that conversation. And this to me is a very controversial topic when it really shouldn't be. And on that note, mi gente, we're going to close this episode out. Please reconsider if you haven't. But as always, you make the decision that's not only best for you and your family, but I implore you to also think about the other people around you and how that choice can be detrimental to them. As always, the Speaking Bluntly podcast can be found on all your major podcasting networks, including but not limited to Apple, Google, Spotify, iHeart, and Pandora. I hope you all have a very blessed and fruitful weekend. We are out. Peace, y'all.